This is the Mizzou Sports Podcast, presented by the Columbia Daily Tribune.
Hello, and welcome to the Olympic Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Peter Baugh. I cover Olympic sports for the Columbia Daily Tribune. We'll be looking back at last weekend, which was pretty action-packed if you're a Missouri fan. There was a lot of stuff going on for Mizzou Olympic sports, on top of all the revenue sports topics going on with March Madness coming up. To start, I think we have to look at Carissa Schweizer. She won her fourth national title on Friday in the 5K when she outraced Edna Kurgat, who's from New Mexico, who beat Schweizer at NCAA championships in cross country. And then on Saturday, she came back and won a very difficult double to take first in the 3,000-meter run. It's a pretty remarkable achievement. I talked to her after the meet, and she told me that she was definitely feeling the pain on the 3K. It's a tough double to go back-to-back, but she was able to do it, and she was able to finish it off to get her fifth national title. So for perspective, no other Missouri athlete in history has more than three national titles. Schweizer has five, and she has outdoor track to even add to that total. I think what's really interesting when you look at Carissa is just the rapid improvement that she's made. 2 years ago, Carissa did not make NCAA championships in indoor track and field. Since then, she went to outdoor track and field nationals as a sophomore, and she was an All-American, didn't win. Junior year was kind of when she burst onto the scene, won 2016 NCAAs in cross country. Then she won an indoor title in track, just came up short in the 3K. Then in outdoor track, won another national title, and now she picked up two more national titles in indoor track and field. It was a really pretty remarkable achievements to watch. She won the 5K handily, and the 3K she kind of pulled away from a Boise State runner who was hanging with her. She kind of pulled away at the end, ended up winning by a second. And she wasn't even close to her best times at the meet. She didn't have anyone really to push her. She was going at more of a relaxed pace. So just to think of how fast she went, and then to think that she's been even faster before is pretty mind-blowing. She set the NCAA record in the 3K earlier this year, and she then won a national title in that and the 5K. It's a pretty remarkable feat. You got to look at Coach Mark Burns and praise the work he's done with Schweizer. He's kind of revamped this Missouri distance program, and you're starting to see the benefits, not just with Schweizer, but you've got people like Megan Cunningham, who won the SEC title in the 5K, which Schweizer did not compete in that, but Megan Cunningham won an SEC title. You see people like even Caitlin Fisher, who made nationals a few years ago in cross country, she's no longer has eligibility left for cross country, but you see just kind of these runners that are really developing, really taking big steps, and Schweizer's kind of the lead in that. And Burns, you got to give him a lot of credit. And the women, led by Schweizer, finished ninth as a team, which is top 10 nationally for a Mizzou program, is definitely notable. And Schweizer was actually the only woman there, so she herself single-handedly carried Mizzou to a top 10 finish in the country, which is pretty impressive. On the men's side, you've got to look at Jamari Ward and what he did. He's a redshirt freshman, and he took, I believe it was sixth in the long jump, which is really great start to his career. He was, let me double check his exact place. I believe it was sixth. But he is an extremely talented runner. He's from the St. Louis area. On the Illinois side, Cahokia is where he's from, and he has experience internationally. He was the Pan American Junior Champion in the long jump in 2017. So he's been around, and he's really a bright spot for this Mizzou team, and he's going to be around for a little while. He honestly, if he had jumped his season best, he would have been fourth in the long jump. And while six is still really respectable, I'm sure he was probably hoping to get a little bit higher. I know he said before the meet that he wanted to win. He actually finished seventh in the long jump. My apologies, not sixth. But still, first team All-American honors, big deal for a redshirt freshman, and definitely good for Missouri fans to know that they have a face of the field events going forward for the men. So something to look out for going forward. Switching gears a little bit, baseball wrapped up a three-game sweep this weekend over LaSalle. LaSalle is not a super high-quality opponent. Their offense has been a little bit better this year, but last year they finished with just over 10 wins, I believe, and are not. They have a first-year coach. They're kind of struggling to get their feet set. And Mizzou made pretty easy work of them. The Tigers are—they're in an interesting spot because right now they are—they haven't lost at home yet this year, and they just slipped into the Collegiate Baseball Newspaper's top 25 rankings. They're up to 24. Their current record, I want to say, is either 13-13 or 14-13. It's 13-13. With some quality wins, they beat Miami 9-0, which is, that's no joke. That's a good win. But they're going to kind of start to have some tests coming up for them this week. They take on Wichita State, who's ranked number 20 on Tuesday. I anticipate Tyler LaPlante will start that game. He was pretty good in his first career start. It was a midweek start, and he really did pretty well. And then I think you see TJ Sikkema come out of the bullpen if they need him, because Sikkema did not have to pitch him against LaSalle, which was good for them, able to get him some rest. So he'll be fresh and ready to go. And then you're going to see them take on LSU the next weekend, or this coming weekend, which is going to be a very, very tough test. LSU was in the national, they were in the College World Series last year, got second overall. This is a blue blood program with, it's going to be a loud stadium. They will fill up Alex Box Stadium, which is one of college baseball's more historic venues. They're going to have a lot of fans there. It's going to be a new environment for a lot of these Mizzou players, and I think it's a big test for them. And if they want to keep moving up in the rankings, which of course they do, then they're going to, if they can take two or three, or even if they can just get one win down in Louisiana, I think that would be a big step in kind of solidifying themselves as the type of program they want to be. What concerns me with Mizzou baseball, if I was a Mizzou baseball fan, is Bryce Montes de Oca has been lights out this year. He's pitched really, really well. His ERA is sub 2. His command has been pretty good for the most part. But what I think might be a little worrisome is the fact that when he faces a team like LSU, their hitters are not going to let him get away with mistakes. Against LaSalle and even the week before against UMBC, he'd have rocky innings. In the fifth inning, he lost his command a little bit. He was letting pitches hang. He was not commanding his pitches. You can get away with that against some smaller schools, but then when you're playing a school like LSU, those hitters, they're going to punish you for your mistakes. So something to keep an eye on is how Bryce Montes de Oca looks against high-quality hitters, which he hasn't really seen yet. So something to keep an eye on. Big week for Mizzou baseball. I think it would be – if they could take 2 out of 4 against Wichita State and then the 3 games against LSU, if they can win 2 of those, I think that's a good – you got to be satisfied with that. That's a good step for this program. They're not going to be sweeping – I mean, maybe they'll sweep LSU. LSU's been kind of struggling a little bit, but that's – you can't expect too much from them right now. And then they play, then they kind of get into the heart of SEC play. But they're welcomed with a very tough start. So we'll see how that goes for them. Speaking of tough starts to conference, softball kind of had the SEC is just so stacked in softball rankings. If you look at the NCAA softball rankings right now, the SEC is just all over it. Missouri played number 4 Tennessee, but then you've got Florida at number 2, you've got Texas A&M at number 7, LSU at number 8, Auburn at number 10, then Georgia, Alabama, all these teams are right in the mix with some of the best in the country. And Mizzou softball, while they have some talented players, they're not there yet. They're not one of the elite teams in the country as maybe they have been in past years. And that showed when they played against Tennessee. They lost three straight games. They got run ruled in the last game. They lost 11-3. First game was close for a while, but Tennessee pulled away, and Mizzou just wasn't able to pick up a win down in Knoxville. So the SEC schedule is kind of a brutal road for Mizzou. They start with Tennessee, and then they're going to go to number 23 Mississippi State, and then an Arkansas team that's received votes, and then some more ranked teams. It's really just kind of a brutal stretch, and they're going to need to start winning some games if they want to work their way into the rankings, which might not happen this year, but even if they want to keep their streak going of making the college NCAA regionals, Gina Fogue has a tough task on her hand just because of how good the SEC is right now. It's really a brutal ride. Now, one huge bright spot for Mizzou has been Amanda Sanchez. Talk about an impressive season. So she had a season-ending injury her junior year, but was able to get a red shirt for that year, even though she appeared in a few games. Now she is coming back with a vengeance. She is hitting a whopping .522, and even though she only got one hit against Tennessee, she was on base frequently in that series. She had three walks, and she was also hit by two pitches. So she had one hit, but she was on base six times in three games. So she's really just been a huge boost for the team. It's clear how impactful having her back has been. They missed that bat in the lineup last year, and she's really been coming up big. So she's shown that she can compete with the best, and that's huge for Mizzou softball. Another team kind of struggling to get in the swing of things is the tennis team. The SEC, again, is just running the gauntlet with these teams that they have to play. So currently the team sits at 11-5, but they're yet to win an SEC match in three competitions. They lost to Arkansas, who's number 27, Vanderbilt, who's number 4, and Kentucky, who's number 17. Fortunately for Missouri, their next few matches are against some teams that aren't ranked quite as high. You've got number 35 Texas A&M, you've got number 36 LSU, and you've got Mississippi State. So maybe the Tigers can pull off a win in one, maybe two of those matches, and really kind of maybe they can get things rolling. Then the SEC schedule kind of gets pretty tough again. So they have their work cut out for them, but Coach Colt Gaston, it's a relatively young team. You've got a lot of people that they're still kind of jumping into the program. You've got people, Mackenzie Middlebrooks has had a pretty nice year. She's a sophomore. Serena Nash has been playing at the number one slot for them. She is also a sophomore. They'll lose some people after this season, like Claire Raley, who's pretty good, and you'll lose some people like that. Amina Ismail will graduate, but they've got some good pieces that they can build off of. I think they were kind of hurt. One of their best players last year, Tate Schroeder, ended up transferring to Clemson, and I think that's a loss that you're kind of seeing the effects of, because everyone else has to move up a slot in the lineup because Tate isn't there anymore. So something to look at going forward is their youth. Maybe they can kind of get some things going as we look ahead. But this year, it's kind of still adjusting to the strength of schedule in the SEC, which you're kind of seeing is one of just a dominant force in college athletics, especially non-revenue sports. You look at women's track and field championships, for example, 7 of the top 10 teams at nationals, including the winner, we're from the SEC. So Mizzou is struggling a little bit in that department with tennis and softball, but they might be able to pick it up. And baseball, we'll see how they get going there. Gymnastics had a bit of a tough meet last week. They took second in a try meet against Iowa and Iowa State. It's been an up and down year. They're ranking is down into, I believe they're 21st right now, but they did beat number 5 Florida last week. So there have been bright moments, and they're definitely positives to take. It's just, I think Shannon Welker's team has really lacked the consistency they've needed to be a top-tier program. I mean, they have scores. They scored a 196.925, which for non-gymnastics fans might not mean much, but that's a really, really respectable score. They scored that when they beat Florida. But then they've also had some meets where they've been in the 194s or even the 195s. And so it's an adjustment period that they're going to need to the consistency just hasn't been there. And gymnastics is a grueling sport, and it demands consistency if you want to be successful, just like every other sport. But it's one of those things where you need to be able to get good routines consistently, because if you have two people mess up on one routine, then that automatically brings your score way down because you're only allowed to drop one score. So that's tricky. Wrestling and swimming have NCAA championships coming up. Both look to be contenders. Swimming, I think this is the women who are swimming this coming week. Best case scenario for them, maybe top 10. Top 10 if everything goes perfectly. Definitely in contention to be top 15. You're definitely going to have some people who are All-Americans. Hannah Stevens, Annie Achatwa, and Charlie Brady. That's a really good trio of swimmers to have on your team. Any team in the country could use swimmers like that. You're going to maybe see some depth issues when it comes to breaststroke. They're really still missing Catherine Ross from last year, who was an All-American. That might come up in relays, but overall, there should be some exciting finishes. And like I said, if everything goes absolutely perfectly, maybe they sneak into the top 10. Wrestling, things are looking good for wrestling. I think top five would be best case scenario. Well, top five, I think, is probably the expectation. Top three is best case scenario. I don't think they can win the meet just because of how strong Penn State and Ohio State are this year. I don't think anyone's beating those two teams. Missouri qualified people in every weight class except heavyweight. It was a little bit surprising they had Barlow McGee and Canton Marriott, who both received at-large bids, which people were a little nervous about. Maybe Barlow McGee wasn't going to get in, but he found his way in, and that's huge for Mizzou in terms of team points. That's going to be really important for them as they try and contend for a team trophy, which is top four. Also, Mizzou wrestling news, we found out today that Willie Miklas will receive a 6-year of eligibility from the NCAA, which is big news for Missouri wrestling and for Miklas. This is a guy who, he's been an All-American twice. He's had two seasons shortened with injury, which is why he got medical red shirts for those years. He's competing in his third NCAA championship. And he's already won two All-American, or he's already been an All-American twice. So definitely a huge, huge asset for the Missouri program, and something he'll provide leadership. He's been around, he knows the system, and that'll be big going forward. So future looks bright for Mizzou wrestling with him coming back. You've got Jaden Ironman, who's been lights out. Grant Leith is a redshirt junior, I believe. You've got a lot of guys who are really showing that they're ready to go and that are contending. And Brian Smith, you'd be hard pressed to find a more successful coach at this school. He's done a phenomenal job. That's about all I have for today in terms of Olympic sports. If you have any questions, feel free to shoot me a tweet on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @Peter_Baugh, or shoot me an email. So just thank you for listening, and we'll have another podcast next week. Take care.
Be sure and subscribe to Mizzou Sports Podcast at iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher.